Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
God has a cure for COVID-19. We just need to discover it. Our researchers and scientists are working hard to make that discovery, to make the unknown known. And we, the rest of us, are praying hard for them in the discovery. And once it is discovered, all who are in need will need to be provided that cure. The pandemic will come to an end. There will be a future on the other side of where we now are. But there is an even worse pandemic that is threatening the existence of our society. It is a sickness of the human soul, the human spirit broken, that creates a divisiveness. The death grip of this kind of sin sickness is trying to get its hold upon us as a people. But there also is a cure for this pandemic illness of the human spirit. It is the love of God that is perfectly shown through the gift of God's grace into our world that was and is perfectly shown through the Christ. And we then are like the researchers and the scientists who are looking for that cure for the COVID-19, but we already know the cure. And we are to be the dispensers, because once the cure is found for COVID-19, the manufacturers and the representatives and the places of distribution will need to distribute it effectively so that all in need will have that cure offered to them. But we as people of the church are to lead the way in showing the cure for what ails the human spirit, what gets at underneath the disease that in the sign of greed and racism, of lust and selfishness, and the devastating effect of a loneliness. But God is a God of hope and a God of promise and a God of love, but we as people of the promise must live the promise and allow that promise to set us free so that we have the sense of joy that comes from deep within. Because the joy maker is the one who feeds the cure into our lives in a way that we are contagious in the right sense of that word, in the health-giving sense of giving that kind of joy into the lives of others. This is what was stirring inside the Apostle Paul and his companion Luke, and probably Aristarchus was still with them on their journey. They were among 276 people on a journey that was taking them across the Mediterranean Sea in order for them to arrive in Rome. There were many prisoners aboard that ship, and Apostle Paul being one of them, who had been unjustly arrested, accused, and was being tried, but he was going to go to Caesar in order to get a trial better than he would have gotten back in Jerusalem and Caesarea. And so on the shore. But God is always about his big picture. God's always about working his big picture in the midst of our individual story. Your story. Your story is a part of God's big story. And when Paul is a bow-legged, squinty-eyed, thick-eyebrowed, bald, hunchback guy arrived on the shore of Rome, people would have thought, what does he have to offer? But he knew what he had to offer. He had written to the people of Rome, the power-broking center of the Roman Empire where 1 million people live. He had written them 3 years earlier that you find in the book of Romans. It's right next to the book of Acts. It is the sixth book in your New Testament. And he had written to them saying, I am not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. This perfect love, this cure for the sin sickness in our world. I'm not ashamed of this because it has healed my soul and it heals the soul of everyone called then Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, as he also had written to the churches of Asia Minor. And so, not being ashamed of the cure, he then was coming to offer the cure humbly, not out of arrogance, not about being better than, but somebody who was who knew what it meant to be shipwrecked, and he survived the shipwreck. They all survived, all 276 did. And we are people in the midst of a stormy sea of history And God will see us through as we're allowing him to calm our inner spirit, even as the storm may rage on. It's for such a time as this that we've been called out to be on mission. And you're on mission together, aren't we? If you are, say amen, rejoice. That kind of rejoice is not a make-up, feel-good experience. It's what Paul wrote when he was in prison. He used the word 16 times to the Christians back in Philippi, saying, even in the midst of this scene, I want to tell you, there is a joy. And we're called on a mission to be God's difference makers in the world. And it is a human choice. We can look to history and see the story played out. It was the Civil War and then in what was the threat of the United States of America. We know, of course, Abraham Lincoln was president during that time. His wife was Mary Todd Lincoln, a native of Kentucky, which was a border state, and many of her kin were for the Southern cause. And Abraham and Mary had two children already die. Willie had died 2 years earlier, before 1864, and they had another young son who died in 1850. So when Robert Todd Lincoln, their eldest child, was at the Jersey City, New Jersey train station, it was a hope that they had one of theirs that was still walking the face of this earth. While he was serving in the Union Army, he was at the place where the train was arriving, and the jostling of the crowd pushed him where he went to the empty space between the platform and where the train was, and there is where he almost died, except a hand reached out from behind him, grabbed him by his collar, and pulled him out. And the young adult, Robert Todd Lincoln, looked around. He recognized the face immediately. It was the famous actor Edwin Booth. About a year later, it would be Edwin Booth's brother, John Wilkes Booth, who had pulled the trigger to assassinate the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, Robert Todd's father. One family, two brothers, making different choices. Edwin was close to his brother, John Wilkes, and John Wilkes felt close to him, except when they talked about what was going on in the country. And the last time they were in the same room together, the younger John Wilkes walked out and made a decision in the spirit of his soul, made a decision in a sin sickness that was grabbing him by the collar and was telling him, death, death, bring death. And so he went to the Ford Theater, not to rescue someone, but to pull a trigger that would kill someone. His brother made a different choice. When Robert Todd wrote about this years later in 1909, just to make clear that the story that had been going around that this had occurred, he said, indeed it did. Edwin and Robert Todd never saw each other again, but in that life-saving moment, history was made by the spirit of human kindness. So, how is it that we can be God's companion, not making the journey alone? Is that we have to embody this gospel cure in a way that acts differently than this world of division that's around us? And it begins by the most simple commitment of our character. It begins by the spirit of a kindness that comes from the kindness of God into a grace of our lives, a choice that each of us may make from our lives. It touches the human soul. It connects with people of character and the character of people. It's interesting that the people who are happiest with their money aren't those who have the most money, but those who have learned how to be generous and good with their money, who in the midst of a kindness use their money to take care of their needs and many of their wants, but take a generosity of their resource and share it in the lives of others, which is why the Lord calls out a tithe in the way of offerings, and we're using the power of non-for-profit organizations to help release kindness into our world. And the church is this movement of the gospel that does all of that in this name of Christ. Well, here's the story of Paul being on the ship with his companion Luke and Aristarchus. They knew that what Jesus had said, that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of you. They weren't going to leave Paul alone, just buffeting the waves and the persecution that he was confronting. They voluntarily made the choice to ride the ship with him. And in doing so, they were revealing a kindness. But when they rafted their way ashore at Malta, an island near Sicily in the mainland of Italy, when they rafted their way from the planks of the shipwrecked ship, they found themselves being greeted by the kindness of the people of Malta, a goodness inside the human heart and spirit. It says in Acts 28:2, the islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed all because it was raining and it was cold. The power of kindness to turn a downside situation right side up just by being hospitable. Asking ourselves the question, I can't solve all the problems, but in this particular moment and at this particular time, I can do something. And that one thing that I know that at least I can do is be kind. Whenever you are tempted not to be kind, and Les Holland, whenever I am tempted not to be kind, it's a time to take a pause moment in the kindness of God and let his kindness center me in a goodness that stirs, that makes a difference in the lives of people. And so they were greeted by people of character, and Paul looked into the character of the people. He saw a stirring loneliness and hurt, and he knew that he had something also to offer. He had prayers to offer. And so out of a belief in the presence of God, he took his prayer life to the people who were there. They had seen that a snake had grabbed him, a poisonous snake, a viper snake that had been unfrozen from the fire and squiggled its way out and grabbed his hand and was hanging on. Can you think of a worse image happening to you? I have a deathly fear of snakes, metaphorically and literally. I kind of grew up with copperheads and water moccasins and coral snakes. And so I kind of look around any storage room I go to or the backyard. I had a dream one night. This is a dream story. It didn't really happen, but it was a powerful dream story to me. As a grown man, I was in my dream back in my front yard in Burnie, and there was a snake that was chasing me. It was a big snake. It was a coral snake, and coral snakes aren't usually big. This was a huge one. And I would zigzag across our front yard in my dream, trying to outrun the snake, and I couldn't do it. And of course, we know how a coral snake can get its venom into us. It's by actually biting, physically biting. And I was scared out of my wits in my dream. Later, I realized I was perspiring. No, I was sweating like drops of blood. And my only option was to turn and face the snake, which I did in my dream. I could feel the fear pulsating within me. I turned and faced the snake, and I grabbed it by its neck and squeezed as hard as I could, not believing that I was actually doing what I was doing. And out came a baby. A baby. And when I awoke, it's as though God was saying to me, Les, you have a fear that's chasing you around. Turn and face it. Let me be with you. Let's grab that fear by the throat. And let me show you what can be born when our fear is turned to faith and our faith is turned to faithfulness. There's a new life from this kind of courage that is born. And so Paul, with that kind of courage, just kind of, whoosh, and the viper's venom did not hurt him. I'm not telling you to go check that out today. We're not becoming a snake handling church. But I am saying, face the fear with your faith, and kindness will always center you. So Publius, who was a big shot in Malta, he lived in big estate, he had a lot of responsibilities, he had a sick dad. Paul went up there and prayed for his dad, and God did a healing for his dad. Prayed for a lot of the people, and the kindness and goodness that came demonstrated in this contagious nature of a prayer action brought wonder. And 3 months after being on Malta, then it was done. It was over. They were getting on their ship again to go on to Italy. This weekend, our family gathered in Little Maypearl, Texas, just outside of Waxahachie in Ellis County. So Jack and Rachel and Tom and I were there, and other family members are still there because Helen, my mother-in-law, was just turned 85. Here's a photograph of her. You'll notice that she's seated not in a normal chair, she's in a wheelchair. And something occurred in her life that she'll be in the wheelchair the rest of her life. And what was amazing about Helen is that she again has gone to the base of her character, the core of her character, and found a center, no resentment about not being able to walk again as she had walked before, but grateful about this presence of God and love that, you know, he lets her deal with her grief, get done with the sorrow, get reshaped, recalibrate her life, and move on with the spirit of kindness. She's been an illuminating light in my life since I was 13. That kind of consistency of a person's character that reveals a kindness that's true and evident in each stage of life. For each of us are called to be this kind of light within our world. Well, once we move into this kindness and connecting with the character of people through the goodness of God, then we can be encouragers. We encourage others by our presence. We strengthen brothers and sisters by intentionally working together. In the story of Paul, what occurred is that once their ship arrived in the big port of southern Italy, and they started walking their way on the famous highway called the Appian Way to Rome, He was greeted by brothers and sisters of the faith. He was greeted by people, and in being greeted by them, he was strengthened. Instead of their being embarrassed that the one who had written them a powerful letter 3 years earlier was arriving in chains under the guard of a centurion and the threat of Caesar, they went to him with boldness and claimed their brother. And he claimed them. There's a power in our walking together. And the power then comes by God holding us strong with each other. There's a power in our being together in person, the sanctuary, our being in person on live streaming Facebook Live, our being in person and how we FaceTime each other, our being in person by how we will call or text or email, Zoom and Sunday school class. Mark Wood, who gave us our opening prayer, was the person who taught many of our Sunday school teachers how to Zoom. I didn't know how to Zoom until he came to our Wednesday morning Bible study and offered and said, we can set up Zoom here and I have to teach me. And so he taught me. All of us have had to learn skills that we didn't know before because we will not be paralyzed by the threat of a pandemic, but how to thrive in the midst of it. See, that's the togetherness. Evil will win in isolation and alienation. The devastation of a loneliness. So we're in it alone, but we're not. To be strengthening the life of each other. Now when Paul knew that when he was going to Rome, that there had been periods in which both the Jews and the Christians had been persecuted there. Later when Nero was the emperor and Rome burned literally, he would blame the Christians as being the source of it, as trying to get a scapegoat under the way. And then later then, the Christians would be a persecuted people and they went underground to the catacombs. If you go to Rome today, like some of us did 2 years ago, you can go underneath the ground into the catacombs and then you can be at a place where the Christians had once been. You see the photograph now. And as you're in that location, you get a feel that these people were paying a price under the times of persecution. And that's part of the roots of our faith, and that's part of the hope into a world to claim a strength and togetherness of being brothers and sisters. It says in Acts 28, 14 and 15. We found some then. And when we found these brothers and sisters, they walked with us. And they had traveled a distance to be with us. And it says, and so we came to Rome and they invited me into their hearts. And in doing so, Paul was strengthened. The word is, at the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. You can make a difference like that. You are making a difference like that in the lives of people, being that source of encouragement. Now, if you reach Romans 16, the last chapter of the book of Romans, it's an amazing chapter of listing of about 28 names. It's names in which Paul says, you know, 3 years before he arrived there in person, he said, I can't wait to get to be with you. He didn't know what would happen by being a prisoner. Can't wait to get to be with you. But meanwhile, I want you to say hello to a bunch of people like Uncle Jimmy and Aunt Mary Sue and be sure to give Cousin Billy Bob a hug. I mean, those weren't really the names, but it was kind of like that letter of togetherness. One of the people that he mentions is Junia. Junia was a believer and with a Jewish background and a believer in Christ. And she had been with Paul, she and her husband, on another situation. And they'd been thrown into prison together before. And she and her husband had made their way to Rome, and there they were. Paul had encouraged them in the letter. And my hunch is that Junia made her way down to greet Paul. You know the name of Jacob and Sarah's baby, the one that Sarah is heroically carrying within her womb, is named Junia. A name that comes right out of this story. Generation to generation, hope to hope, the power of the story going forward. We can be kind, we can be encouragers, and then we can be our message. We can be this message of the cure through the gospel, God's good news, into our troubled world by being centered. Centering ourselves in all circumstances. On any given day, you get some news that just kind of shakes you to your core, and you kind of regather your inner balance. And when you do that, you're calling out the centering force of Christ. Said, Lord, give me a strength beyond myself, but bring that strength within me so I also may help to strengthen those who are around me. So when Paul got to Rome in Acts 28, 16, he was allowed to live in by himself, meaning in a house church. He did have a light chain next to his wrist, and there was a centurion, a special appointee of Caesar, to stand guard over him. But Paul was recognized as a person of character, and so he was given this kind of special privilege because he had shown his innocence, caught in a guilt-stained world. And while he was being guarded, it seemed like he was the prisoner, but in truth, he was the free person. He was the free person by this gospel freedom of Christ Jesus. And the Roman Empire had built in Rome, later or in his day, some of the big symbols like the Roman Colosseum or the entryway and the archway where those who had been conquered were forced to march under to say, look at the power of this, the heart of the empire. But instead of being intimidated, Paul saw the possibility of how the cure could come to Rome of a love of God perfectly shown in Christ. And then it could be given to the heart of Rome and spread across that part of the world. First, to see each day that way, for us to see each day as being a dispenser of God's cure in our troubled world. Be a person who then is kind and an encourager and who is centered by the force of Christ. And the Christ will do his wonder through you.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.